World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I feel like a thief this morning. Got to confess to you, I feel like a thief. I stole some silver yesterday. Yeah, I stole some silver. I bought some, but it was a steal. Now, look, I'm not a financial expert, folks. I'm not a financial expert. But if you think the value of silver is going down, come on, man. They got those panels everywhere, right? It's in the computer chips. It's in everything. And what's going on with silver? Just I'm not giving you financial advice. I'm just telling you. In the market, they have what's called shorts, longs and shorts. In other words, people buy silver. They don't even own the silver. They just buy paper silver, right? A lot of them bought longs, meaning they thought the price of it was going to go up. And a lot of people bought shorts, which meaning they thought the price of it was going to go down. And so what's happening right now is the longs and the shorts are having a fight because a lot of money is in paper silver and they don't have the silver. You listening to me? They don't have the silver. They don't have the silver. They have a piece of paper that says they have the silver. They don't have it. And so they're trying to square up, including your banks, by the way. They're trying to clear up their books by driving silver down so that their losses will be less. That's what's going on. Silver... anyway, do what you want to do. I feel like I stole some yesterday. Do you know you can buy it at Walmart now? Spencer, do that real quick. Pull that up for me. I about fell over. Walmart. Go to Walmart. I'm not a financial advisor, okay? I'm not a financial advisor. But if you think the dollar's good, Walmart, put up silver. Did you know you can buy silver at Walmart? Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it? So if you don't trust the people you're buying silver from, you can buy it from Walmart. Unbelievable. Man, I got a lot of stuff to go on over today. Thanks for joining us. By the way, we're almost ready for the annual Pass the Salt Huddle registration. Spencer, click on that. Now, look, folks, we're still doing some final getting this whole thing together on the internet, on our website. I'm not blaming Jared and those. They're doing a great job. Gary and I are communicating. But you can begin registering now. Now, listen, folks, it's $20. Listen to me. That's a food ticket. $20 is going to get you how many meals? 4 meals for $20. It's a meal ticket. You come free. We have someone who sponsored the event. You come free. But the meal ticket, we'll be cooking food for you right there on site. Now, if you want to run off and go to McDonald's and spend $30 at McDonald's, go ahead and do that. Or you can register for $20 and have a meal ticket and eat right there with us. By the way, that's some of the most enjoyable time when you sit around and talk to each other and eat hamburger, whatever. So there, all the stuff's now up there. Spencer, I sent this to Gary today. I don't want that to be a pop-up. I want that to be the main thing, man. When you go to the website, boom, that should be the main thing on the website when you go there. So folks, love for you to come July 10, 12. We're still working on lodging. Hotels, everybody, trying to help you out a little bit with that. But jump in, man. We're ready to go there. Ready to go. I got to show you this, huh? Just giving you fair warning. Arizona faces a 77% cut of the Colorado River. Folks, we're running out of water. Huh? Yep. Arizona faces a 77% cut in share of Colorado River as states remain deadlocked over water allocation. What? We're talking about Willis. Yep. Water is about to become the most valuable commodity on the earth. More than silver, probably. A lack of agreement between the upper and lower basin states would mean the federal government imposes its own plan of reallocating water over the next 10 years, a plan that would mean a cut of 77% of the water for Arizona. Folks, come on, man. It's happening everywhere. No other state faces such severe cuts under the no-deal federal proposal. Wouldn't we be better off if we just got the hell rid of the federal government? Wouldn't we be just better off if they just left us alone? Just left us alone. We can't, because it's a Leviathan. It's a Leviathan. One more thing. The data center picture. Show this. This is Ohio. This is, you guys, you don't live in Ohio. You don't care. Coming to a city near you. Ohio data center reform bill collapses amid fight over tax breaks. There is a picture of just one of the data centers here in New Albany, Ohio. You know what they're arguing over now? They're tax exempt. They come in, steal your property, set up the data centers, and then they're tax exempt. And then they want to charge you to drive on the highway. Right? You get toll to drive on the highway. Folks, what a world we live in. It is unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. So look, just a little bit. We drove by that. Martin and I, Martin came over the other day, and we went for a tour. We took him out, showed him. Look at this stuff. Folks, this goes on for miles. Goes on for miles in Ohio. And it's coming to a city near you. Sorry. Data centers. All right. Let's move on here, Coach. What else? Here's what I want to try to do today. Hey, David Arthur, you have something to say? Because it seems like you always have to go halfway through the show. What's going on with you, man? Anything you want? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I just see you popped up there.
No, I just popped in, just trying to be present. I also, I emailed you and Spencer Ray LeBlanc's city council video enhanced.
So, oh, yeah.
So you don't have to use the original one that he sent you. I enhanced it for him. So
Spencer, maybe you can grab that. We'll look at that here in a second, folks. Look, I'm going to finish up with angels today, demons, okay? Been on that a while. Now, friends, this blew me away. Just blew me away, boy. The hierarchy of angels. And then some stuff I didn't know. And I promise you, some stuff you didn't know. Now, hang on. A lot of the stuff that we have been taught. Did you know that, Lord, how do I do that? How do I say this? Pull up number 5. Okay, so that's good. Stay right there a second. Stay right there a second. Let's dive in here. Some branches of Christian theology have proposed a 9-level hierarchy of angels. They say there's 9 levels, like you would have a general, a colonel, a captain, a sergeant, a lieutenant. I think I got those in order, right? A hierarchy of angels. There's a hierarchy of demons, and we've talked about that, but again, we don't really have any real fundamental basis for it. We really don't. Most of the stuff that we're talking about is probably found, are you ready? In the Ethiopian Bible, probably, is where we would find this. You will not find angels, the description of angels, in the Bible, okay? I'm going to make that clear. So some of the stuff I'm bringing to you is, should we say, folklore, extra-biblical sources, I don't know. But shouldn't we know a little bit more about angels? So here are some branches of Christianity says there's a 9-level hierarchy of angels. Okay. Hey, some branches of Christianity, theology. Remember, not everybody believes the same thing. The first order are the seraphim, the cherubim, and the thrones. Mel says a new Masoretic text. Okay, hang on. Then there's a second one, dominions, virtues, and powers. And the lowest order is principalities, angels, archangels, and angels. See, there's the difficulty is the Bible identifies no such hierarchy. The Bible identifies no such hierarchy of angels. You will not find that hierarchy in the Bible. In the Bible, we see that there could be different kinds of angels. And if there are different kinds, there might be some sort of hierarchy if one exists, but the Bible doesn't tell us explicitly. If it were important for us to know about it, the Bible would have told us term angel simply means messenger and emphasizes the work that angels do. Now, I disagree with that a little bit, because who wrote the Bible, right? Stay with me. The seraphim is simply a word that means fiery or bright. Seraphim are mentioned as angelic beings only once, and that's in Isaiah. Did you know that? I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Since the word seraphim is simply a description, it may be that the seraphim are simply fiery beings that may or may not be a distinct kind of angel. Hey, folks, I'm just giving you other people's research. I don't know. Cherubim are mentioned numerous times in Scripture. After Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden, cherubim were placed there to guard the entrances in Genesis. The majority of instances where cherubim are mentioned are in connection with the Ark of the Covenant, as the likeness of two cherubim adorned the cover of the Ark. David sings a song of praise in which he says that God mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. When Ezekiel sees the glory of God leaving the temple, he also sees cherubim carrying the throne of God. In Ezekiel, the cherubim are described as having four faces, one a human being, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. However, since angels are essentially spirit beings, it may be that they simply appeared to Ezekiel in this form for that particular revelatory vision. Are you following me? I'm not really following me. There's only one angel mentioned in Scripture. Do you know that? Michael. He's mentioned in Jude 1:9. Now, are you ready for this one? Hey, this is just kind of out-woo-woo out there on the left, okay? There are those who believe that Michael, the archangel Michael, was the pre-incarnate Jesus. Did you know that? That Michael was the pre-incarnate Jesus. I don't know. The voice of the archangel is heard in 1 Thessalonians with no mention of his name. Revelation 12 describes a war between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels. So there's angels, clearly. Michael's described as an angelic prince. Michael's being the leader of the angels who fit with both the title archangel and the role he plays. Archangel may be a role rather than a distinct kind of angel. Another individual, you ever heard any of this? I've been in church my whole life. I ain't never heard none of this. That's not true. I wasn't in church my whole life. Another individual angel, Gabriel, is also named in Scripture. Gabriel delivered messages regarding the birth of John the Baptist. He's mentioned in Luke 1:19 and Jesus, Luke 1:26. So Gabriel was a messenger angel. Is he the messenger? I don't know. In speaking to John's father, Gabriel described himself as one who stands in the presence of God. There's no mention of what kind of an angel Gabriel might be. He also delivered messages to Daniel and answered his prayer. And Daniel describes him as a man, which means that Gabriel appeared in human form. Again, as angels are essentially spirit beings, they do not have physical bodies, but it seems they may appear in various forms. Did you know the Bible tells us that we have entertained angels unaware? Huh? Yeah. What does that mean? Michael and Gabriel, how about this? I can't believe how ignorant I am or unlearned. Michael and Gabriel are the only angels mentioned by name in the Bible. But we know that there are untold myriads of angels who serve God. It should be noted that although angels have greater power and glory than human beings, it is human beings who are created in the image of God, not angels. It's human beings, not angels, who are going to reign with Christ. It is a human being, not angels, who've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Angels are servants of God who minister to believers. From one perspective, angels are certainly greater than people. Yet from another perspective, human beings occupy the primary place in God's created order. Angels do not understand redemption in the way that God's children understand it. Isn't this good? Man, the term guardian angels never mentioned in Scripture, although this concept is commonly assumed. Perhaps it's based on Matthew 18:10, which says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that the angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Wow. You know, there's a picture of an angel, two faces. You know, are you aware of that? I didn't research that this morning. Two faces. One where they're constantly worshiping the Lord, and the other where they're scanning the globe like ABC Sports. Huh? Wide world of sports, spanning the globe. Two-headed, I don't know. Finally, they're fallen angels. Jude 6:1-6 mentions some of them. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling, there, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. Listen, everlasting, no time where they are. There is no time. Everlasting is a term that we use. So they're locked up. And others wage war in Revelation 12:7-9. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, and the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. What does that do to your theology? God kicked the devils out of heaven, kicked the devil and his angels out of heaven, and he kicked them where? To earth. Wow. Speculation abounds, but there's no elaborate hierarchy of angels revealed in Scripture. Seraphim and cherubim are mentioned in close connection with the throne of God. Since seraphim simply means fiery, it may be the description of an angel rather than a separate kind. The cherubim and the seraphim are generally described as otherworldly creatures. Michael's the archangel, a head angel, archangel, which would indicate that he has a distinct role, but not necessarily that he's a distinct kind of angel. He could just be boss. Gabriel's an important messenger because Gabriel appears. He is normally identified as being a man, as are other angels when they appear to humans. And angels do an important work. We're never encouraged to fixate on them and, of course, are forbidden from worshiping them. I know in my Catholic training, I'm not here to bash Catholics, we were taught to pray to angels. Would anybody disagree with that? Would anybody disagree? In my Catholic training, I was taught to pray to angels. They overcome by the glory of his vision. John records, "At this I fell at the angel's feet to worship him." But the angel said, "Don't do that, dude. What are you talking about, Willis?" So the angel said, "I'm just a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and your sisters who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." Angels simply serve in the background and bring glory to God. And no, you don't become an angel when you die. You know me, I need constant reinforcement. It's pretty good, isn't it? You ever heard any of this stuff? Okay, poem number 7, the first 7. I got 2 7s in there. Pull up the first 7. This kind of fascinated me. I'm going to open up here in a second. Angels in the Bible, what do we actually know? Hey, you believe in demons? If you believe in demons, you got to believe in angels. If you believe in angels, you got to believe in demons. Why? Because they're disembodied spirits. So this is real quick. We'll go through it real quick. What do we actually know about them? For centuries, we've portrayed beautiful human beings with wings, fat babies with harps and halos, right? Angels have inspired all sorts of imaginative stories, depictions. But what do we really know about them? Scroll down. Let's find out. We're going through it quick, okay? Quickly. 14 biblical facts about angels. God created angels. Angels haven't always existed. According to Scripture, God created them. A host of the armies of heaven. You, the Lord, are alone, and you made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, and the host of heaven worships you. And while these Bible verses tell us that God created angels, the Bible also suggests that they don't exist in the same way that we do. When Jesus appears to his disciples, he asserts that spirits don't have bodies. That's why demons possess bodies. Number two, there are three types of angels in the Bible. Only three types of angels. The cherubim. And what do? They guard the entrance to heaven, Garden of Eden. God is enthroned above them, and God rides on them. Two golden figures of cherubim sit above the Ark of the Covenant, where God promised to dwell among the people. So we have cherubim, and we have seraphim, which is another type of angel. They're only mentioned once in the Bible. They appear in Isaiah 6, where they continually worship the Lord and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." So the seraphim don't do anything except constantly worship the Lord. Ezekiel and Revelation speak of other kinds of heavenly beings known as living creatures around God's throne. They appear like a lion, an ox, man, an eagle, representing various parts of God's creation, wild beasts, domestic animals, human beings. They too worship God continually, day and night. They never cease to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of God, and who was and is to come." Okay, so angels have a hierarchy. Angels in the Bible appear to have a rank and order. The angel hierarchy is supported by Jude 9 when the angel Michael is called an archangel. That title indicates ruler authority over angels. He's also called one of the chief princes in Daniel 10. And in Revelation, now war arose in heaven, and Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated. And Paul tells us that the Lord will return with the archangel's call. So Scripture doesn't tell us if this refers to Michael or if there are other archangels as well. It's fascinating, isn't it? There's only two angels named in the Bible. Only two throughout the whole Bible. Gabriel is the only, Michael is mentioned in Jude, Revelation, and Daniel. Gabriel is the only other angel named in the Bible. He's mentioned in Daniel, and he comes as the messenger of God to speak. He's also identified as God's messenger in Luke. He tells Zechariah, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God." And then we read in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. So there's only two mentioned in the Bible. Angels are not omnipresent. Although they frequently appear, they're not constantly going, they're scrolling down. The fact that they're not omnipresent is made explicit when an angel comes to Daniel and says, "I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So we've got an angel fighting a demon here, it looks like, right? But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia and came to make you understand what is to befall your people in the latter days." So an angel showed up and held his place while he went and did something. Michael went. We don't know how many angels exist. Unlike God, who is omnipresent, angels are finite creatures limited to one place at one time. Scroll down. We don't know how many exist. I'm not going to read all this, okay? We don't know how many there are. Biblical references. We can't prove that guardian angels exist. We can't prove that. He says he will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands, they will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. So evidently, they are able to come and they're individual and they're able to, what? I don't know. But are these what we think of as guardian angels? Jesus said in heaven, their angels always behold the face of my Father who's in heaven. But Jesus may only mean that the angels are assigned to protect little children in general. Who knows? Angels don't marry. Angels don't marry. They don't marry. They don't marry. Come on. Say, "Coach, how'd the Nephilim get here?" I don't know. Jesus taught that resurrection people neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Angels are very powerful. Angels are called mighty ones in his word, dominions and authorities. They're certainly greater in might and power than humans. And angels use their power to battle against Satan's demonic forces. During our earthly lives, we lower than the angels. But as powerful as angels are, when Jesus returns, followers of Christ will be raised higher than the angels. I don't know. I don't get it either. We don't know when angels were created. Genesis tells us that angels were made at some point before the seventh day of creation. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them. Host refers to heavenly beings. We can at least confirm that all of the angels were created by the sixth day of creation. Go on down. Angels are examples for us. Angels show us what perfect obedience looks like. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven." And in heaven, God's will is done by angels immediately, joyfully, and without question. Angels are also models of worship. John sees God's throne having a great angelic army, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." Folks, these are non-physical beings. Angels carry out God's plan. They frequently bring God's message to people. They carry out some of God's judgments, bringing a plague upon Israel, striking Herod dead because he didn't glorify God, and pouring out bowls of God's wrath on the earth. When Christ returns, angels will come with him as a great army, accompanying their king and Lord. They patrol the earth as God's representatives. Scroll down, please. They carry out war against demonic forces. John records that an angel seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who's in the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, threw him into the pit. When Christ returns, an archangel will proclaim he's coming. Folks, angels exist. They certainly exist. Angels directly glorify God. Humans are the only intelligent, moral creatures who glorify God. Are not them, I'm sorry. Psalmist declares, angels glorify God for who he is in himself, for his excellence. Bless the Lord, all you angels. Seraphim continually praise God. Angels also glorify God as they witness his plan unfold. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, a multitude of angels praised God, said, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So angels are mentioned all the time, but we don't understand them. If Timothy follows Paul's instructions, angels will witness his obedience and glorify God if he neglects to obey. Okay, angels are not to be worshipped. We don't pray to angels. Hey, that's deep in Catholic tradition, isn't it? Pray to Michael, pray to whoever. We shouldn't pray to angels. God's able to answer prayer. Prayer warns us against thinking that the only mediator can come between us and God. For there is one God and there is one mediator, that'd be the Holy Spirit. That's the only mediator. Right, folks? Not an angel. Okay, cool. Now, I'm going to shut up. I got more. I'm going to shut up. You might want to come in here. What do you think? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard any of that? Have you ever been taught any of that in the modern American church? And by the way, why are my people destroyed? For lack of knowledge. We have very little understanding of the spiritual realm, the spiritual world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. Weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. And we have no understanding of it. I'll give $5 to somebody. I'm sorry. Jared will give five. No, Spencer will give $5 to anybody who's had a teaching on angels in their church. Claim it now. If you did it. Claim it now. And so we make angels out to be, again, Spencer, it's not on the list. Do me a favor. Google the pictures of angels again. Folks, the stuff that they've done to us. No, not the Los Angeles Angels. The fat little puffy guys. Huh? They're warriors. The angels are warrior angels. Look at those little fat ones right there. There's angels, right? And because they've done that to us, we don't understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down the strongholds. And why is it that we get pictures of the devil and he looks mean and ugly and wants to fight and wants to eat us and wants to destroy, and we get angels and they're fat little babies with wings? Something ain't right. Got you, Rod. Thanks. Something ain't right. Okay, I've gone on for 30 minutes. Feel like I'm talking to myself. Climb aboard. Can you invite demonic spirits into you? Is there such thing as open doors? Open. Do you play with a Ouija board? Come on in, Roger.
Yeah, Coach, something I've been thinking about for some time, and you just hit on it today. In Revelation chapter 8, you see that the seventh seal is called, and there's silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. I get the feeling that if you were to step foot in heaven, it would not be a quiet place. But that seventh seal, the quietness, that's the seventh seal. There's silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And then next thing that follows is the seven trumpets. So there's something that's going to shift and that's coming. And it causes heaven to go quiet.
Roger, would it be okay for me to say this? I don't know. But I know a lot of what they told us isn't true. Is that okay to say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what we do. Who told you that and why do you believe? That's what we try to do here. That's what we try to do here.
Hey, Coach.
I go back. I'm not bashing anything. I could talk about Methodists. I could talk about Lutheran. I could talk about Baptist. I was raised Catholic. And I remember, doing this, the Stations of the Cross, walking down there and praying in front of this plaque and then praying in front of this plaque and then praying in front of this plaque and praying in front of this plaque. And religion. Look at that. If you're in trouble, do you want that little girl that'll show up for you? Spencer, click on her. Lord, send your angels, Lord. And they send her. What? What's going on? Why the wussification of the angelic realm, I wonder.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You started off by saying that seraphims are mentioned in Isaiah. They're also in Ezekiel and in the Revelation, the seraphim, the four seraphim.
Mm-hmm. But the point I'm making, Carl, is they're in a whole hierarchy. Listen, there may be a hierarchy, but they're not mentioned. And we don't know why. And do we have a guardian angel? Do we all really? We've been taught that. Can you find a guardian angel anywhere in the Bible? I don't think you can. I mean, maybe you can. By the way, if you're out there right now and you can find where a guardian angel is mentioned in the Bible, that we all have one, bring it to the table. I'd love to hear. Lauren, come on in.
Good morning. I think it's what I know. They made, God's angels look weaker to Satan. Mm-hmm. So it's the mirroring and it's not just feminizing angels. It made them look ridiculous. Because these angels that you put on top of your Christmas trees and everything, it's not God's angels. And it's just mocking heaven's angels.
Amen.
Because Satan's angels all got kicked out. And so Hollywood makes them look fiercer and everything. So and it's exactly what you said. How is God's angels, because this is how they're portraying them, would you expect God's angels to fight Satan's angels when they look like, I've got no vocabulary for it. They look, well, I do, but I can't say it here. They're sissies. They're sissy angels, right?
That's right.
So how is a sissy supposed to protect me? And it's just kind of like what they've been doing to men right now. Men are supposed
Jesus
to be women.
A sissy, right? Jesus is a sissy.
Exactly.
Hey, Spencer, do me a real quick favor there, bud, if you would. Google pictures of Jesus. And ask yourself if this is some guy you'd be afraid of if he came to your door. Huh? Come on now. Who did this? Who effeminized Jesus? Look at that second one from the right. That guy'd fit in the pride parade, wouldn't he? What do you think, David? Wouldn't he fit in the pride parade?
He sure will. You know what, Coach? They also did the same thing to Unix, right? When you see the old, like, 1970s and 60s, any, like, Bible movies or movies about Jesus, they always had these eunuchs running around with, like, pastel colors on and all this jewelry and makeup. And but eunuchs weren't effeminate men. Eunuchs were warriors. The majority of eunuchs were warriors. You know, like in Matthew 19, the Christ says about how eunuchs are either born that way, choose to be that way, created that way by man. And that's because eunuchs, the majority of them, were actually castrated so they could guard harems of women. And they were warriors. They weren't these soft little effeminate things that you see, you know. And that's the big lie too, because now, like, that's the what they're telling homosexuals and transgenders, that they were eunuchs in the Bible. They were mentioned in the Bible, and they were eunuchs because they were born that way or created that way by man. And so the lie there is that Jesus didn't mean none of that. What he meant when he said that they were born that way is that some people are born with, like, a deformity, whether it's mental or physical, where it's not advisable for them to enter into a sexual, you know, monogamous relationship. And then those that were created that way were either the warriors that were guarding the harems of women, or those that were guilty of very heinous sexual crimes, and they were castrated to keep from committing more crimes. And so, and then there's those that choose to be that way, like Paul the Apostle. He was spiritually castrated because he chose to just dedicate his life to the Christ. So they've done that same thing to every bold figure within the Bible. They have made them effeminate, and then they've taken every evil and wicked figure and made them look treacherous and wicked and scary and frightening and powerful. Why they've tried to take our power away.
So, David, so the question we need to ask ourselves, folks, all of us here, who done it? Who effeminized Jesus? Spencer, I just sent you a video clip. Pull that thing up here as quickly as you can. And if we were to ask ourselves, the average person that you run into, and you ask them, what was Jesus like? How do you think they would describe him? What do you guys think he would? Just a man of peace and loving and caring and sitting around with goats and sheep and petting them, and, right? Right? We forget who this guy was. Ask yourself this here. Would this Jesus sell in today's modern Christianity? Is Jesus cleansing the temple? Go ahead.
Jerusalem, the faithful city, she that was full of justice, has become a harlot.
Stop him!
Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning?
What are your multitude of sacrifices to me, says the Lord? Bring forth no more vain offerings. Call the God.
Well, he wouldn't sell, would he? That guy ain't going to sell in the pulpit. In fact, it's hard to sell that kind of disciple at Coach Dave Live, to be honest. They want that loving, fat, pat me on the back, rub my hair, Jesus. That's what we're dealing with, folks.
He's missing his whip, Coach.
What's that? Yeah, he fashioned his whip. What do you mean by that, Joe's? What do you mean he fashioned his whip?
He didn't have his whip with him.
He sat down and he pondered it. He put it together. He took a few minutes to do what my second grade teacher used to do, make me go sit in the corner and cool off. So Jesus sat in the corner and cooled off as he made a whip. He wanted to make sure that he just didn't react out of just human anger. The wrath of God. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Wrath of God. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, from my reading, the hierarchy of angels is this. You have God, the Trinity, the cherubim, then the seraphim, then the orphim, the archangels, the angels, and then the phoenix, firebirds.
Uh-huh.
And that's the hierarchy of the powers of heaven.
Okay,
anyway,
now,
that's from my reading. From my reading.
Now, Carl, depends what source you read.
But that's just from my reading. So, okay.
That's right. Depends what source you read. So, Spencer, yeah. pull up the got questions. Okay, get you in a second, Trump. Hang on there. The got questions. Not that one, I don't think. The hierarchy of angels, is that it? Yeah, scroll down, bud. That's not the one I want. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Right there was. Right there. You went by it. Right there. So, according to who, I don't know. The highest first order of angels, seraphim, cherubim, and thrones. Then there's the second order, dominions, virtues, and powers. And then there's the lowest third order in rank. Now, that'd be like privates, lieutenants, sergeants, okay? The lowest ones are principalities, archangels, and angels. Somebody says that's the hierarchy. That's the hierarchy. So the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. The lowest order of angels. Wrestle not against principalities, but powers. Power. Look at that, folks. Wrestle, I just came to me. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. Do you understand the hierarchy? He spells the hierarchy out, doesn't he? Wrestle not against principalities, powers. Hmm? Wow. Wow. Mark Trump, call him.
So, first of all, all the angels had a hierarchy before the fall. So when they fell, they still had a hierarchy. So Sennazel was on Mount Hermon with 200 angels, but there were many more, a third of heaven.
Right.
So there was already this pecking order. Now, the other thing I wanted to bring up is, did you have a favorite play that was a signature Coach Dave play?
26 Power.
Right. No one played that but you, and you thought of it and all that, right?
No, but it was our go-to play. It was when we had to have a first down, 26 Power.
All right. When you saw that play executed properly, how did it make you feel?
How did it make me feel?
Yeah, how did it make you feel when your team executed your play
unstoppable. Properly? We were unstoppable.
Right. You fashioned your play. Kind of like Jesus fashioned the whip to show us his signature play.
Amen.
What if he saw us taking back the corrupt church?
Wow.
Wouldn't he be as proud as you were when your team ran your favorite play?
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that what he showed us? Now, what was he mad about? He was mad about them doing money in the temple, money change. And yep. He reacted to that. And he was mad about them asking about taxes. Why'd you get involved in taxes? What happened? Then he had to say, well, they came and said, does your master pay taxes? He did not want to get involved with this earth's money system. And he didn't want it in the church. He didn't want it in the church and temple. And that is what drove him to that. Now, that is one specific thing Jesus hates out of all of them. But he fashioned a whip, Coach.
Amen. Amen. He did, brother. He did. And then I noticed Danicus said something here. I was going to bring it up, just didn't get to it yet. The book of Enoch. You remember that book that's not part of the Bible? Isn't it funny how we come back to the book of Enoch again? Do you know the book of Enoch names and responsibilities of the angels? You know that? But they say, well, that's not the Bible. That's not the King James authorized version of the Bible. I wonder if the devil was messing with the Word of God even back then. Or did he only start it in the 20th century? Did the devil allow the Word of God to be pure way back in 1613 when they came up with the King James Version, it's a version of the Bible, the one that we all cling to? I wonder if the devil was involved in that at all. Just asking, just wondering. Lorraine, come on in. Hey, folks, come on, it's your show. Come on in here. I want to hear from you. Come on. Go ahead, Lorraine.
Coach, I just have 2 points. The angel of the Lord that's identified in the Old Testament is called a Christophany. So that was Christ appearing like in Exodus 3, 2 through 6 in the burning bush. Whenever you
Who
see-
told you that, Willis? Who told you that, Willis? Go ahead.
Oh, I studied it. Okay. So, personally and academically. So that was Christ
told
showing
you that.
Up.
Why should I believe him? Hey, I'm just,
exactly.
I'm just, look, okay.
Yeah,
I'm not making fun of you.
I understand. I appreciate the challenge, because if you didn't challenge me, I would just be a robot, because you'd be right. Programming me. And yeah. I can't thank you enough, because you, this show and the huddle is my lifeline.
Praise
so 100% my lifeline. So, you know, they want to think that you think that Christ, because Christ is the head of all the angels, the hosts of heaven, right?
The host of heaven.
Yep. Jesus is the head, the general of all generals of the hosts of heaven, right?
By the way, his host is 2/3 of the angels. The devil's host is only 1/3. Go ahead.
100%. But this is the point that I've been saying for decades, okay? The King James Bible was authorized by who? The king, right? So it's a government-approved Bible that's been going down all through the centuries. And people don't question it, because they say, oh, because, and to what we're always taught, who told you that and why do you believe it, that the King James Version is the only version that's the perfect version that we're supposed to trust, because they're translating it.
That's right.
And they'll say, well, you know, King James would, you know, behead them if they didn't, you know, every dot and tittle wasn't exactly approved. Well, yeah, if you don't approve it exactly the way I tell you how to translate that, you're a dead man, and so is your family.
You mean there might have been some guys on that forum that had an agenda? Huh?
Oh, no, no way. And the Council of Trent, oh, those were all really nice, honorable, Jesus-fearing, loving guys. And nobody talks about King James used to be a practicing witch and a warlock.
Yep.
You know, and his book of magic. Nobody talks about that.
This is deep, isn't it, folks? This is really, really deep. It's some stuff that we can get in. And we believe King James to be the preserve. What about the all those in the Ethiopian Bible? Book of Enoch? Not real? Book of Enoch's not real? What? Made up? What? Look, I'm not here to question the Bible. Who told you that and why you believe it? Can I tell you this real quickly? I'm going to show you this just real quick. Spencer, Google Hopewell Indians and mounds. Google that real quick. Hopewell Indians. In Ohio. There you go. They want us to believe that these mounds that we're going to follow with LA, Fritz Zimmerman, they want us to believe they were built by Hopewell Indians. They wrote that history, and they want to make sure that history, they were mound built. Hopewell, you say, Coach, what's this have to do with it? Has a lot to do with it. The mound builders, they're historically referred to as mound builders, though this term encompasses several different cultures over thousands of years. So who determined the Hopewell Indians built those mounds between 200 BC and 500 AD? The Hopewell Indians were renowned for constructing monumental earthworks. For how many years? For 700 years? What? Who told you that? Why do you believe him? Thank you. Hey, somebody, Spencer just said somebody on the phone may want to get in here. Help me out, Spence. If you're out there and you want to get on the phone, you're calling in. I don't even know how to do that, Spence. Bring them in if they want to come in on the phone. It's good stuff, isn't it? Isn't this good stuff? See, this builds my faith. This doesn't weaken my faith. It strengthens me to hang on to the truth. Because only the truth will set you free. Not some man's opinion of the truth. That's why we got 46,000 different denominations. They found in the Bible something they believe to be true, and they won't let go of it. And so they are bound by that belief, and then they get people to come and follow their belief. Come on, man. Come on, man. When I stand before the Lord, he ain't going to ask me whether I was a Lutheran or a Methodist or a Catholic or a Episcopalian or whether I worshiped on Friday or Saturday or Monday or Wednesday or Tuesday. He ain't going to ask me none of that stuff. He's going to said the man on the middle cross said I could come. Kimberly, come on in.
I was just hoping we could jump over to Enoch 20 and take a look at what it says there.
Well, let's jump over to Enoch 20 and see what it says there. Excuse me. These are the names of the angels who watch. By the way, this is Enoch. It's not in the Bible. Okay? King James didn't put it in the Bible. King James and his crew. Uriel, one of the holy angels. Raphael, one of the holy angels, who presides over the spirits of men. Raquel, one of the holy angels who inflict punishment on the world. Michael, presiding over Herman's future and commands. Serachiel, who presides over the spirits of the children of men that transgress. And Gabriel, one of the holy angels who preside over Ichaset, over paradise, and over the cherubim. Interesting. Is that true? Well, no, it's not in the King James Bible. That can't be true. So, I don't know. Look, I'm not here to destroy your faith. I'm here to try to build it. I don't know. Do we each have a guardian angel? Can that really be found? A guardian? Each one of us have a guardian angel? Mark Trump.
Just a note on Enoch. How many years did King James walk with God? I think the number is zero.
Right.
Enoch walked with God 300 years. Why not listen to what he has to say? You know?
Yep. I'm sorry. I'm getting my phone's blowing up here on me. Let me read it. Kevin, I would mention that I didn't know that. Luann Mattis, who used to be part of the Q, passed away last night. I'm sorry, I don't remember Luann. I remember David. I remember having a lot of people. Anyway, sorry about that. I mean, hey, folks, what do you say to someone whose loved one died and they didn't know the Lord? What do you say? What do you say? Sorry about your luck. He's in a better place. The reality of death, eternity, passing out of this time-space continuum, whether you go immediately to the judgment seat of God or whether there's eternal sleep or rest, what do you say to somebody? They don't know the Lord. They're dead and they don't know the Lord. Sorry about your luck. Tried to warn you. See, we don't take it seriously. Meaning this. We must not really believe it. Or we would warn everybody. Everybody. Kevin.
Yeah, Luann was in the show back in about the time David Arthur came into the show. She back in 2018, 2019, 2020, wow. she she started following me when I ran for political office and friended me on my personal Facebook pages and stuff. And her daughter posted last night that she passed away. She had a really, in fact, I think we actually made the mistake of calling her a man. And she quote promptly reminded us that she was not a man.
Because she had a deep voice.
She had a real deep, raspy voice from probably smoking a long time.
I remember the name, but just vaguely. Just vaguely.
You know, and here's the reason I mentioned that, Coach, is because over the years, so many people have come out and became part of the show. And some have stayed, some have not. Some have been not stayed in the show because of whatever reasons, medical reasons, or, you know, philosophical reasons or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. But what this show has done for over a decade, it has opened the eyes and ears of those who are willing to listen and Amen. Not stand on a mountain that they're not willing to die on.
I appreciate that, Kevin. I'm looking here right now. Somebody do some real quick math for me. 2683rd show.
You started January 20th of 2016.
How many of you folks, January 20th, 2016, how many of you have been to 2683 sermons at your church? And you know what's really good about this? It ain't always about what I think. In fact, some of you leave because you don't agree with the theology. Unbelievable. Hey, David Arthur, somebody asked me, why the hell is David Arthur outflowing rainbow balloons behind him?
Because it's the Pride Month. Don't you know that?
Oh!
We're celebrating Pride this month.
Oh!
That's what we've been doing.
Pride cometh before a fall, doesn't it?
That's right. Every few days, every week, we go out and we celebrate Pride by reaching out to people and giving them the gospel and feeding them and clothing them and just reaching out to them, establishing bonds with them. And I mean, it's been fantastic. So, you know, we can always utilize everything because we know that's not a rainbow, right? Because a rainbow is a rainbow. It has to have seven colors of the spectrum. So what you see behind me isn't rainbows. Those are sigils. Those are what the enemy took, what God created, and twisted it and manipulated it. And actually, their flag was eight colors in the beginning.
Okay.
And they removed two colors that represented sex and magic because they revealed too much. So
they did.
Yeah.
So Spencer, real quick, because I only got 2 minutes here, Spencer. Google or what's pride? What's pride? What does Webster say pride is? Pride refers to a that's good. Inordinate self-esteem. An unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority. Hey, folks, I would never be proud. I would never be proud to have sex with another man. I would never, ever, 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 ever be proud of that. Ever, 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 ever. To be proud of that. What? Wealth. Accomplishments, rank of elevation, office, manifests. Pride goes before destruction, as Proverbs tells us. Insolence. Pride is insolence. Hey, folks, look. There's some things you ought to be proud of. Having sex with another man ain't one of them. Having sex outside of marriage ain't one of them. Being self-centered ain't one of them. Always wanting your way. Ain't one of them. Ain't one of them. Can I tell you something? I'm proud of what we do here. I don't run around bragging to people about it. I'm proud of it. There's some things that you ought to be proud of. But you ought to give credit where credit is due. I'm not hosting this show because I did something great. I'm hosting this show because God did something great in me. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of what he did inside of me. I'm not proud of me. I know me. Got to run. Pride cometh before a fall. See you tomorrow.